Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we investigate the book of 2 Timothy and discover powerful truths about mentorship from a father-to-son perspective. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So glad that you joined us on this, for us, cold recording day. Don't know what the weather's like where you are, but it is cold for Virginia. But we are here nonetheless, looking forward to spending some time in the Word of God. Caleb, thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. I always love to be a part of this and hoping for some warm weather here soon, but enjoying today's podcast already.
For sure. Verse 9 of chapter 1 is where we are today. Just to jump right in, if you would, we talked last episode about how Timothy was being mildly rebuked by the Apostle Paul. Hey, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And we kind of did a deep dive on that last episode. The sentence, though, is not over. It's a very long sentence in your Bible. And the sentence continues in verse 9, where the Bible says, who, that's Jesus, God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So the Apostle Paul is trying to encourage young Timothy to brace up under the pressure, to deal with the inevitable persecutions of being a follower of Jesus. And he goes back to the fact that we are saved for a purpose. What do you make of that, Caleb?
Yeah, so in verse 8, like you said, he's talking to him and he rebukes him a little bit. But in verses 9 and following, he starts to give him some reasoning why he should not be ashamed. And here it's saying that, you know, first of all, before anything, If we should be ashamed of Christ, there's no good reason because, number one, he saved us. And then also he has a purpose for our life. He has called us to be sanctified unto him, and he has a calling for our lives. And he's reminding Timothy, saying, hey, Timothy, Christ has saved you. God has a calling and a purpose for your life. And so this is just one of one of many reasons not to be ashamed of him.
And that's really good. And isn't it interesting how people oftentimes look at salvation as if it's the end of something?
Right.
Like, okay, fine, I got saved. Mm-hmm. And yet in the Bible, salvation inaugurates the beginning of something.
Right.
So the fact that God saved us, he saved us for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so salvation is a matter of that restoration to God, that gift righteousness of Christ, so that now we are equipped by God to fulfill the purpose for our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how it said that God did not save us from something. He saved us to something.
Mm.
And so he's saving us to himself. And as we are, after the moment of salvation, of when we receive Jesus Christ, that's just, like you said, the very beginning of us being restored unto him. And so there is a greater purpose. He's almost saying, Timothy, look beyond yourself, look beyond your predicament right now. There is something greater than you, and that is to serve the Lord and to be like him.
It's kind of like people that like to do work restoring old furniture. I know we have a beautiful piece in our living room that actually your wife Cassie,
yeah,
Caleb, redid for us. Uh-huh. Just so beautiful. So let's say that we're going down to the used furniture store, we might see something that is old and looks beat up, and we might purchase it.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, we're salvaging it, we're saving it, but we're not saving it so that we can put it in a corner somewhere to say, okay, it's no longer in that store, it's
right
now in our garage.
Yeah.
No, we're saving it because we have a purpose for it. We already envision in our mind where we want it to be and what purpose we want it to accomplish.
Yeah, and it's such an encouraging thought that God would love us so much that he would allow us to, not only that he provided that plan of salvation, but then he also gives us the opportunity. He promises that he will make us like his son one day, and that we have the opportunity here on earth to continue to be more like him as he, you know, ultimately we're glorified when we go to heaven.
I'm glad you brought that up, because too often I think when we read about saved or salvation in the Bible, we think of it in a very narrow sense. So we think about salvation as being just that time and place when we realized we were sinners and received Christ as Savior. And while that's important because that's inaugural in our salvation, that's not all of what salvation is. Salvation is the entire scope of God's plan to salvage a life. Now, obviously, it begins with justification when we're declared to be righteous. It continues in sanctification, as you mentioned a moment ago, where the Holy Spirit of God who lives in us is making us to be more like Jesus day by day. Yeah. It culminates in glorification when even our physical bodies are saved and made like his glorious body. What a plan.
Yeah. What a day that will be. You know, it's just, it's amazing to see how God continues, despite our imperfection, despite how many times we have failed him. He has this promise for us as believers. And it's such an amazing thing.
He that began a good work in us, he will perform it. God's still working on us. I love the verse in Romans 8:29 where it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son." That doesn't mean that God arbitrarily selected some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell. No, far from that. What it means is that God has made it a sure thing that all believers in Christ will ultimately be just like Christ. What a promise.
That's amazing. And it all comes back to the Christ is the one who's, and through the Holy Ghost, he's performing that work, because we try so many times, and it seems like every day, you know, I'm failing in some way. But just to know that God, you know, gives us that power through his son, through the Holy Spirit, and that one day we will be like him.
It's not that we don't exert effort. We do. But the point is, it's not effort that saved you in the first place. And it's not effort by which you're going to grow in grace. It's submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. So to be controlled by the Spirit of God means that we're submitting to his work in our life. We're saying yes to his ways. We're saying yes to his thoughts. We're saying yes to his energy and no to ourselves.
Yeah, that's well said. And it's just so encouraging, just living your everyday life, knowing that God has this ultimate plan for you, and that he knew you before you even formed in the belly of the womb. You know, before you were even born, Christ knew us, and he had this plan for us. And to know that he will always continue his promise, he'll never break his promise, it's just the most encouraging, comforting thought, and also just motivating, as I'm sure it was to Timothy as Paul wrote it to him.
That's what I was just going to say. What a motivation this must have been for Timothy. Look at verse 10, where it says, "But is now," Christ Jesus, "is now made manifest," the purpose, "is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." In other words, Timothy, we of all people have the distinct privilege of living for God with the knowledge of all that Jesus did. So Paul called this the mystery. That which was previously unknown or misunderstood, that was kind of shrouded, that is now gloriously open and available. The fact that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, and it's by that gospel power we can live and find identity.
Yeah, and it's so amazing that we today as New Testament Christians do have the person of Jesus to look to that he already came the first time to earth. So he's already died, and he already was buried, and he already rose again. And so it just is, you know, back in the Old Testament, they had to look forward. They had to put that faith in that Christ will, and we have the evidence that Christ has. And he's already, you know, continued that work. And for us to look back at that as it motivates us to press on and forward until that day where either we will return to him or he returns for us.
It is the gospel that provides clarity for Christian living. So he has brought life and immortality to light. Hmm. You know, now we can see it. We can see it in all of its wonder. We can see it in all of its, it all makes sense now. So when you look at your life through the lens of the gospel, well, Jesus saved me, and Jesus has a purpose for me, and Jesus empowers me, and it's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ by which we operate. Yes, as you said before, what an encouragement to Timothy, but wow, what an encouragement to every single one of us.
Right, yeah, and that's the amazing thing about God's word is that these promises and these truths are still true today, and these promises are still sure today, and that we can take what Paul wrote to Timothy and take it to heart ourselves and have that same confidence.
So Paul says in verse 11, whereunto this gospel, this glorious news about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, a proclaimer of truth, and an apostle, a special emissary sent by God, and a teacher of the Gentiles, a message that needs to go to everybody. In other words, Paul says, I view my entire life in terms of this gospel message. God has entrusted me to tell it, to guard it, to proclaim it. I mean, wow.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable that the way that Paul writes that, like you said, he says, my whole life, everything is in relation to this gospel work and this gospel power. And I think so many times, just as modern day Christians, we define our lives by so many things, by what we have or who we're around or what job we might have. And sometimes we just need to stop and think that, you know, my life is defined and should be motivated and defined everything I do through the purpose of the gospel. Why is it that I'm investing in that person? Why is it that I'm, you know, I have this job? Why is it that everything should be vetted through the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I'm sure that Timothy had many reasons to feel afraid and to even shrink back in fear. Paul's dealing with that, but Paul comes back to the things that never change. Timothy, situations might be negative, circumstances might be other than what you would have chosen. Fears will abound. But Timothy, don't focus on the persecution you're facing. Focus upon the power of the gospel that you're preaching. That's the one unchangeable thing. And I think the Lord says that to us today. You know, you might be facing something today. You might even be shrinking a little bit from a bold testimony for Christ. But can I just say, rediscover the power of the gospel in your life. Not just at the beginning of your Christian life, but today. He's as powerful as he's ever been, and it's by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that we live and breathe and live day by day. So I hope that helps you. I know it helped Timothy. I hope it helps you. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.